to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 132 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome back to another show. On tonight's show, we've got Charlotte. Hey Charlotte, how's it going?
It's going great. Edward, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Doing well. We also have Jimmy. Jimmy, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Excellent. Very, very good. Well, for tonight's show, we're going to do a reoccurring segment that we've already tried once before, and we've had a lot of good emails about it and a lot of good comments. And as you can tell by that music, it's time for the Wheel of Attractions. For those who don't know, we have found this really awesome carnival wheel that I mounted in my office studio. What we've done is put every ride of Walt Disney World onto that wheel, and we're going to spin it, and wherever it stops, we're going to talk about that ride. It's totally random, and what it does is it gives us a chance to kind of, without preparation, just kind of do a brain dump about our certain ride or attraction at Walt Disney World. And sometimes we get some really good observations and some good memories. So what do you guys think? You ready to go?
Absolutely.
Sounds like a good time.
Okay, awesome. Well, I tell you what, Charlotte, as the lady in the room, why don't you spin the wheel for the first time?
All right, here we go.
Okay, there it goes. Good spin. Wow, that's a strong spin. Now, as it goes around, again, what we're going to do is basically talk about whatever it lands on and try to spend maybe 5-10 minutes discussing it. And looks like it's slowing down. And it's Mickey's PhilharMagic.
All right.
Mickey's PhilharMagic. Now, the first thought that comes to my mind is that's the old standby. Whenever there is a problem, whenever there's a crowd or it's raining, Mickey's PhilharMagic usually fits the bill. Jimmy, where's that at?
That is right when you walk, say you were walking through the castle from Main Street. When you exit out the back of the castle, it'd be right there on the left.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right next to the carousel. They have fast passes for it. Not that I realize or ever knew why.
That's the fool.
Necessary.
It's the fool people who've never been there before.
Pretty much. It's a theater attraction, and the theater is very big, and I don't think I've ever really seen it full up. And I've been there as summertime crowds and spring break crowds where they have a pre-room that fills up pretty tight, but then once you go into the theater, it's nice.
I never understood why they make you, in Muppet Vision 3D, I never understood why they cram you in there like sardines. It seems like there's so much more room. I'm not talking about the theater, I'm talking about before you go in.
Well, because there isn't enough room in that room. Plus, you're supposed to be standing, and I guess they figure the size of that fits the theater.
Yeah, I guess.
But you're right. It does get a little tight. The pre-show isn't as good. There actually really is no pre-show in Mickey's PhilharMagic. You walk into the theater. You go through the standard back-and-forth line. Some really cool movie posters, kind of similar to It's Tough to Be a Bug. And there's actually a lot of different characters. Now I'm thinking of the posters, because I remember the one with Weezer on it singing opera.
There's another one with Hades.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love the Hades one.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cool different ones in there. I do remember that. And then you get into the main room where you get your glasses and you go down in front of the doors for the theater.
And everybody sits on the floor.
Right. Well, as long as they can.
Yeah.
Until it starts getting crowded and you hear the yell. I remember this came out, I don't know, like maybe 10 years ago, maybe now, or a little more, a little less, but I remember it being such a great, great attraction because of the movie, and they were not wrong.
you know, mm-hmm. I think one of the things I like about it so much is it touches on so many great Disney movies, old and some of the newer stuff. So, and when I say new, I'm talking about, you know, 90s Renaissance stuff, you know, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast. But then it also hits on Peter Pan. I guess that's the main older one is Peter Pan.
I think Peter Pan is the only classic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we also are dealing with the Fab Five because we start out the show with Goofy waking everybody up and getting everybody ready to go, and you hear Minnie in the background. And it's really cool because you hear the sounds from the left side of the stage and the right side of the stage. And then the Donald jealousy because he wants to be Mickey.
Yep.
That causes a lot of mayhem.
Mickey wakes him up. Donald's sleeping. Wakes him up, tells him it's time for the show, and says, "Don't touch my hat." So what does Donald do? Got to put the hat on. Got to put the sorcerer hat on. And then chaos definitely ensues at that point. He's definitely no Mickey.
He's definitely no Mickey. He's got a little bit of an attitude that needs to be adjusted.
So, one of the greatest things and the biggest tips and that you can give for this attraction is at the end, make sure you turn around.
Absolutely.
Oh, right, Donald. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's cool is, do they still have it in the gift store? The other, like him, his front half.
I think so. I think it is there.
But that is a good thing. It's the same as Muppets, where the chef and the penguins have the battle.
Yep.
So it's cool, and it's a really cool environment attraction because you have the smell-o-rama going. Every time apple pies now, I smell apple pies. I actually smell Beauty and the Beast and the whole song when they do Be Our Guest.
I wonder if that's...
And the champagne popping, actually, in my face.
Yes. And the smell of cinnamon. I mean, it's just so wonderful. This is actually... Mickey's PhilharMagic is probably my middle child, my 21-year-old daughter. It's her favorite attraction in all of Walt Disney World. We have to do it multiple times. She just loves it that much.
Yeah, no, I never could be tired of this one. A lot of times we're running around, and I might not think about it or have time for it, but as soon as I see it or anybody wants to go on it, I'm like, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Nice way to catch your breath, get a little cool down for a few minutes, and just it's just so much fun. I love all the music in it. That's probably one of my favorite renditions of the I Just Can't Wait to Be King, because, you know, everybody look left, everybody look right. And everybody in the audience is looking left and looking right because of the way the screen is, and it's just so awesome how
it gets so huge.
Yes, how everything's moving across the screen, and it's
so panoramic.
It is beautiful.
Can you say that's your favorite segment from that?
That's my favorite segment. Thing? Yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Jimmy?
I think mine is the Peter Pan when Donald's kind of on Big Ben,
right?
And they kind of gets flung off of it, and Peter Pan kind of grabs Tinkerbell and shakes pixie dust on him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah,
I like the Aladdin scene at the when they're flying around on the carpet. I think that's pretty cool.
That was pretty good. And there's a little you expect it to be over when Zazu?
Mm-hmm.
Zazu comes in. Because it's such a sweet moment. Jasmine hands him the sorcerer's hat, and then all of a sudden Zazu comes by and knocks it off.
So quickly we forget Zazu from the Tiki Room, don't we?
Yeah, under new management.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Out of sight, out of mind.
Iago and Zazu.
Yeah. Okay. So Mickey's PhilharMagic, definitely a great attraction. Like I said, I always hit it every time we go to the parks. Really good hit in the wheel attraction. Very good, Charlotte.
Awesome. Yay. I've been training for this.
Okay, Jimmy. I think it's your turn to step up to the wheel and give it a swing.
All right, here we go.
Okay, here it goes. Wow, that wasn't even close to Charlotte's.
No.
It's already slowing down.
Oh, Charlotte's been working out.
I have.
And it stops on Astro Orbiter.
Oh,
Astro Orbiter.
Interesting.
Now, that's a good one. I've only been on it once.
Me too.
But I've seen it from, you always see it. That's like the big Tomorrowland attraction other than Space Mountain, I think.
No, I would say it is. I mean, it just being an icon.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte, have you ever been?
I think we've rode it maybe 3 times. Not very many. It's just a difficult ride to get on, honestly.
Yes.
The way you have to load, it's just
it's a pain.
It's a pain. It I don't want to waste time.
I will.
Well, I tell you what, explain what we're talking about, and then we'll talk about kind of like moving upstairs.
That they only take so many people at once, and you have to go up the elevator to get to the ride. And it takes forever to get on that ride. And it's fun. It's a spin around ride. And it's nice. It has beautiful views, but it's just,
right?
I could ride
at night.
People mover 3 times.
I will say it's so much better than, it is a pain to get on, but I will give it its props and say it is better than Carpets of Aladdin or Dumbo. Just it's the same type of ride, but it's so much higher off the ground. It's a little more, and it moves pretty quick. So I think it's a little more thrilling than Dumbo or Aladdin. So if you have small children and they're okay with Dumbo or Aladdin, that does not mean they'll be okay with Astro Orbiter, because it's pretty high up there.
Sure. Now, I can't remember. Do you have control over going up and down?
Yes, you do.
Right. I've only been on it once, and it's only been maybe about 3 years ago that I went on it the one time. And my big memory from it, of course, it was really cool, and doing it for the first time is awesome. And we did it at night, which is an extra bonus in Tomorrowland because everything's lit up. The cars are super small. The little rockets are cramped like you wouldn't believe it. Yeah. Smaller than Space Mountain rocket sled by like almost a size. And that's the main reason why I probably won't do it again. But other than that, it's like you said, it's a spinning ride. It goes up and down just like Dumbo, like Carpets of Aladdin.
Yep.
That's about all I got about to say about that.
My favorite part about that ride is just how pretty it looks at nighttime when I'm not on it. When I turn into Tomorrowland and you see all the beautiful neon lights and just the glowing, my camera probably focuses on Astro Orbiter first before it focuses on anything else in Tomorrowland at nighttime, just because it's so pretty. It's very picturesque, but I'm not going to waste time going up on it.
Right.
All right. So in October, if we're all there, we have to do it together now.
We do.
Because
sure.
I always find the stuff like that you never take the time to go on is like when you meet with people and you do something out of the ordinary and you go on it, that creates that memory. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely. I think we're going to try one more spin of the wheel tonight, and I think I'm going to take that last spin. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. There it is.
And you made fun of me?
I can't even hear that noise at fast. Matt, there it is.
I can't hear it because it's going so slow. It's like a watch. Tick, tick, tick.
Yep, starting to slow down. There it goes. And it's going to be, click, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Oh, my God.
Wow, we got a good one there. This could take a little while.
Probably one of my favorites.
It's definitely.
Oh, no doubt. One of the last remaining working rides at Hollywood Studios at this point.
Right, one of the only attractions left.
First thought that comes to my mind is a very busy street now.
Very busy.
So one of the things that makes me light up when I think about Tower of Terror, I think, we did a show a while back at me, you, and I think it was Sam, about interactive cues and just really well-themed cues. And I think that started with Tower of Terror. Not that it's interactive, but just out the box, themed. I mean, it's just, that's when I think that was the first attraction Disney said, you know what? These people are going to wait in line, but we're gonna make it a nice wait.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now, I tell you what, as far as saying that, you have to go one step further with Tower of Terror. Over spring break, I had a fast pass to it and walked right to Tower of Terror, fast pass time, walked right in the fast pass line, literally walked right into the study, into the library for the movie. It was great. However, I passed a lot of really disgruntled people because they had every standby part of that line open. And I did not realize how far into the garden that line goes. And there is nothing to do out there except wait for the next water fountain or to see somebody else up on the top of the, you know, the elevators opening up and things like that. So they really need some activities on that line. Not that I've ever been really on the line ever. I usually fast pass the sky, or it's times when it's not that crowded.
Yep.
When we were there in March, we also had a fast pass for Tower of Terror and walked, of course, right up to the study and into the library. And I was amazed at how long the standby line was and how it snaked in and out of the gardens and everything, and how many disgruntled people there were giving me the shifty
right?
eye
as
I walked by. And, of course, they do that anyway because – people who don't understand how fast pass works always do that when you walk by in fast pass line. Well, we would have got fast pass if I knew it was free, or you know, something. You always hear stuff
sure.
like that. But that line out there is terrible. I can't imagine standing out there in the summer.
Oh no. No, I no, wouldn't no. I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the advantages of going often enough where you don't have to.
Well, sure. Now, when we always say rope drop theory, that's my rope drop, because I could go to Toy Story Mania for rope drop and then either get used to get fast pass to go to Tower. Now you basically go rope drop to Toy Story, and then you could still walk to Tower and have a very short line since everybody else really went to Toy Story.
Right.
So we're going to see when everything opens up and how that works out with the new park additions.
And I will say about Tower, too. I mean, I've seen it where – the wait for Rock and Roller Coaster was over an hour, and mm-hmm. you could go, like, literally get off of Tower of Terror and run back through the line and go right back on it.
Right.
So sometimes it's weird. Tower of Terror's line, I don't know. I don't know if it's just maybe the way they staff it and if they're running all of them, but it seems like sometimes – it seems like the wait time for Rock and Roller Coaster is more – there's, like, more consistent wait, where Rock and Roller – I mean, where Tower of Terror sometimes – sometimes it's like an oddly long wait, and then sometimes it's like, really, it's 5 minutes, and Rock and Roller Coaster is an hour?
Right.
So I've seen that many times.
It's, yeah, it's more sporadic, I find.
Have you guys seen the wait time? They have a standby wait time at Tower of Terror. They use the same type of numbering as they do over at over at Haunted Mansion.
13 minutes.
So 13 minutes is posted. That's literally 0 minutes, basically. So jump on.
And we did check, you know, one of the cool little Easter eggs at Tower of Terror is that little board. Like right when you walk past when you go left or right to go into the library, there's the little board that tells you the floors. You know, it's like one of the mole boards with the little white letters.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. So at one time, and still sometimes they change it all the time, but some of the letters are missing off the board. And when you look down in the bottom behind the glass, it used to say – Evil Tower, you are doomed.
Red rum.
Yeah, so last time there was nothing there last. So we just went on it when we were there last month.
I will have to check. And there, I have to check nothing. Next time.
Yeah, when you go in June, check, because they change that type of stuff up all the time.
Right. So definitely. Another thing to think about, too, you mentioned the library again, where they show the little movie before you move on to the basement. There is some really cool stuff around the walls and up on the shelves and things like that. So while the lights are still on, everybody's packing in. Take a look around. Always try to maneuver it so we're near where the door is going to open up. But
Love looking in there because there's a lot of stuff in there that I'm like, ooh, I would like to dust that off and take it home with me.
Also,
that would look so nice in my living room.
It's all nailed down. Did you notice?
I know it is.
What's also is pretty amazing is the whole Rod Sterling thing,
right?
Oh, sure.
Because they didn't attraction, that show didn't exist. There was no such show, so they used bits and parts of different shows to put that together, and they used a voiceover artist that could talk like Rod Sterling to put in the pieces that weren't actually him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very cool. Another thing really cool about the tower is that it has definitely progressed. It's grown better with age in that they've been able to play around with the drop sequences. And the last time I was on it, it was great. Yeah, it was like 7 or 8 different up and downs, even to the point where, again, this happened to me the time before this too, where it went down to where almost the movie was starting room at the bottom where the ride was over, but then it still dragged you back up again.
So how weird was that? We started talking about the drops on the Tower of Terror, and Skype decided to drop out on us. Well, no matter what we tried, it wasn't able to work, and the three of us couldn't get back on. So what we decided to do was continue on with what was going to be a different show, but the update of the third round of the Character Madness. So I'm going to turn you over to Sam, Jen, and Jimmy as they talk about the third round results from all of our listeners. Thanks again, guys, for voting, and here we go with the third round.
And with that, let's head back to Character Madness 2016. We're in the third round, and third round voting is over. So we started with 128 characters in 8 different Disney universes, and we are about to get that down to 16, which will be the final 2 in each of those brackets. So we're going to set up the final match for the final Pixar, Classic Disney, Disney Princesses, etc. So with me now, Jen and Jimmy, let's talk about the Pixar round and what some of your picks were with our 2 remaining matches in Pixar. The first one is Buzz Lightyear versus Nemo. What do you think, Jen?
Well, okay, so first of all, I have been completely out of the loop on everything, which that includes Character Madness, but I've been trying to pop in and like vote sometimes. I think I've missed like rounds and I've definitely missed discussions.
Okay.
But so you're talking earlier about how it was skewing. You're surprised that what Buzz is ahead of Nemo. And at first I was like, oh no, Buzz is so cool. I love Buzz. But I was thinking of it from my 3-year-old son, like Buzz is the coolest thing ever. Kind of merchandising mind, like,
okay,
as far as a character goes, I like, so when I had to step back and think, like, I don't know, I like Nemo's story better, I like Nemo's resiliency, I like his whatever, like bravery, I love the relationship with his dad, especially when you go into like, you add, you know, whether it's canon or not, so to speak, you add the musical from Animal Kingdom, like I definitely have to go with Nemo as being a more just more passionate character, more
depth.
More deep. Yeah, exactly.
Depth, sure.
Yeah. Yes. So I do. I have to go. It's hard because Toy Story, I mean, Buzz and Woody, like, because they've been around so long and there's still a fourth one coming, that was like my childhood and my kids' childhood, which is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. Jimmy, what do you think?
I got to go with Nemo.
You going with Nemo as well?
You know, I don't dislike Buzz, and I think overall the Toy Story is a great movie, but the Buzz character just on its own is not very deep. It's
he's a space ranger. He's awesome.
Know,
it's Buzz Lightyear.
And then I also think, you know, up until, you know, just the past few years, like Finding Nemo was the number one animated movie, like until
it was
Frozen.
Well, and like Buzz, he has a moment, like literally probably 3 minutes, like when the whole I Will Go Sailing No More montage after he tries to fly. And in those few minutes, you are like, wow, that is like, I mean, you like see Buzz, you see his emotion. And then by like 2 and 3 again, he's just like, he's like the comic relief. Like, oops, we flipped a switch. Now he speaks Spanish. Haha.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not, that's it. Like, there's not anything more.
He's definitely
to it.
Not.
As and then there's the whole
like
Woody is his father, and it's almost he is like there to be.
I get the arguments. I still vote Buzz because I think he's cool. And the survey has 72% with Buzz over Nemo.
Can't believe.
My kids would all go Buzz. So.
So there you go. That would be the 3-1 then. All right,
she
so
just
that's
compared you to her kids.
That's okay.
75% of the group to the kids,
and that's not a problem. Absolutely. So Buzz
apparently
moves
Jimmy
on.
And me and 25% of the nerds are just a little
more
mature.
So let's go on the other side of the final 4 for Pixar. Buzz Lightyear moves ahead. On the other side, it's Woody and Mike Wazowski.
Mm.
Jimmy, I'll let you go first this time.
I'd have to go with Woody. I don't dislike Mike Wazowski, but I think Woody's a better character. I think all the points we just made about Buzz is completely opposite about Woody. Woody's
you
a little deeper.
A
He's a
toy.
Little, yeah. I mean, Woody's a little deeper. Woody's a little more of a thing. You know, he's very emotional. He's more complex character than Buzz.
Jen?
No, I have to agree. I will say that Woody has moments where, especially in the first Toy Story, where I think that he is almost one-dimensional in that he's, like, entitled and whiny, and I can't believe I'm saying that about Woody because he's great otherwise. But, like, he definitely had to grow up with Andy. But he did, which is hilarious because he's a toy. But he definitely, like, matured. The whole, like, Buzz and Woody thing and then letting go of Andy and then rallying around his friends and making decisions about Lotso. And he definitely became, like, more mature himself. And he, again, is a toy, and it's cracking me up that I'm talking about him like that. But sure. Woody. But he, like, it's awesome. Hated. I love Mike. I love Mike. I love Monsters, Inc. I love Monsters University. I don't know. There are certain things that I would choose Mike over Woody in some things, but as far as, like, better character, I think that if you include, and maybe it's just that we've had, you know, 20 years to get to know Woody, but I think that
could
he's
be.
A
which is amazing. It's been 20 years. My vote is Woody, and 73% of the overall vote was Woody, which sets up, and not that you didn't see this coming, the Pixar final will be Buzz versus Woody. And I think, you know, regardless of whether you've been with us or not, Jen, that's probably what you saw coming, so. That's what that one is. All right, so let's move to the next universe of Disney, which is classic Disney.
Sorry, like you said, I think that even like March Madness, and you know, it's like those first rounds that there's like all this discussion and a lot of upsets and like, oh really? I'm so surprised you think that. And then ultimately, like,
you get to where you thought you'd be.
You get exactly where you thought you'd be.
Which is Bud versus Woody. Although that might not be the case in this classic Disney bracket.
It's a little tougher.
It does get a little tougher. So in the first bracket in classic Disney, it's Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
Mickey Mouse.
Oh. You said that's going to be hard?
I don't know. That one's not hard. But
this one isn't hard. Yeah. Mickey. Okay. So I'm assuming Mickey. So Mickey Mouse
with
90%.
But some of these other ones, I mean, once you get away from Mickey Mouse,
all right,
and you're talking about the Fab Five, obviously Mickey's number
Mickey's number
one. What's the percentage on that, though? What's the percentage on the Donald?
90-10.
Because here's the thing, like, for me, it's no question. Like, if I had to pick one favorite character ever, not necessarily the whatever, most well-rounded, would I watch him again? You know, it's always the how are you voting, but like Mickey, all started with a mouse, and it's Mickey, and he's the most recognizable character in the entire world. But like, there are a lot of people who really like Donald because Donald is a really, really entertaining character. So, I was curious if it wasn't going to be like a landslide, but it was,
but it wasn't because. Yeah, 90-10. I mean, it's a landslide, but it's not Mickey with every vote like he had in the other brackets to get here.
Yeah.
Now, the other side of this gets interesting, which is Goofy and Minnie Mouse. This one's much closer than I had expected.
That is a hard one.
Jimmy, your thoughts?
Goofy.
God, that's hard.
This is
so hard for me because Minnie is... You know, I just said Mickey is probably my favorite character, but, like, really, it's Minnie. Not just whatever, because she's classic and cuter than Mickey and what have you. But, like, I love the going back and seeing when she was really kind of, like, mean. And, I mean, I don't know. I love the different incarnations of Minnie.
She definitely had Mickey. Some evolution as a character.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's kind of fun. Like, and I don't know. I love Minnie, and I love Minnie and Mickey as a unit. And then you go with Goofy, and he's not just all goof, especially then you bring in, like, a Goofy movie and all these things where you see, like, this other side, and you bring in the Goofy how-to shorts, which are, like, the most brilliant little cartoons ever.
They were awesome.
Oh, that's a very hard one. It's one of those, like, either one is fine, but I'm going to go Minnie.
Are you serious?
I am. It's more like – it's the same thing with princesses. Like, I always identify with Ariel growing up. I'm not sure that she's the best in anything. I think she's great. But
that's what makes this so cool.
I have, like, an attachment to Minnie.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And like that, I have an attachment to Goofy because, of course, the kids say that's who I am. And Goofy moves on with 54% to 46%.
That's pretty close, though, yeah.
It is close. Which, you know, as we said, Buzz and Woody are the obvious pair for Pixar. You would think Mickey and Minnie, but it's actually Minnie and Goofy that will battle to represent classic Disney moving forward.
And that's actually – I think that's neat because I think that with those last four – I mean, I don't know if Donald would win. There might be some people that are like, really? But I think that either Minnie or Goofy – I can't imagine that Minnie fans are upset that Goofy's in. You know what I mean? It's just it's got to be hard for everybody. So
it is. All right, third universe is Disney Princesses. And in the first matchup here, it is Belle and Cinderella. Jen, I'll let you go first. Because I know you have an opinion for Belle and Beauty and the Beast and all of these things.
Belle. Belle. I don't know that she's number. Every year. I actually just saw my friend's his March tournament just wrapped up, and for the first time ever, Beauty and the Beast did not win. That was a spoiler.
Wow.
But I know. It was crazy. I'm sure it was number two, but I saw his announcement and I was shocked. But I don't know that Belle or Beauty and the Beast are 100% forever the best things ever. But I think that she was the first. Well, I have this attachment to Ariel as a kid and more like a personal attachment. Belle was the first princess that I think I remember being independent and self-sufficient and, you know, not so concerned about. And I am like the world's. I'm so not a feminist, but like, I honestly don't care if a prince rescues a princess with love at first sight. I think that's great. But I also love that Belle has more facets to her than that. I think that she's the first one that was like strong and able to stand up to the Beast. And she is an awesome, awesome little princess. So
Belle,
that was easy.
For Jen. How about you, Jimmy?
Belle is my favorite princess out of all of them. So that one's pretty easy for me.
I'm more partial to Cinderella only because of the castle. But mm-hmm. our fans have spoken, 78% Belle, so Belle over Cinderella to represent the princesses in the final row.
Interestingly, I love the live-action Cinderella, which was, you know, well-received, but not, you know, the world's greatest movie ever. I mean, I thought it was great.
But
it was wonderful. I loved it. But, like, I'm saying it didn't change people's perception of Cinderella necessarily after they watched it. I think, though, had that been the first time we ever met Cinderella, then that would have been a different story. Because, you know, when Walt was first making movies, they were shorter and they were just barely trying to entertain people with this new thing that no one thought would work, like live action like full length animated movies. And so things were just different. So they made simpler movies for the most part. And but I loved Cinderella in the live action. I think that she definitely had more depth to her. And you just don't get to see that with Cinderella. But I'm with you, Sam. The castle and the glass slippers. And
yeah, and that's what I think.
If I had a Disney wedding, it would have been Cinderella. But
all right, so Belle will move on to face the winner of Ariel and Rapunzel. So I think your answer, Jen, so ask Jimmy first.
I don't know my answer.
Oh, you don't? Okay, Jimmy?
I'm going to go
I think we had this conversation last week.
Maybe.
I'm gonna go Rapunzel. Only because Tangled's like one of my nothing against Little Mermaid. Tangled is such a great movie. So I'm gonna go Rapunzel. That's a tough one though, because if you ask me tomorrow, I may say Ariel.
Yes, and that's why Sam, you think I'm gonna say Ariel, because for every
conversation we've had,
I've said her every time, right?
Yes.
I said this connection. Well, and that's so true. I remember. I mean, I think that I was the right age and had the right parental situation and like wanderlust and all these things that like made me identify so much with Ariel. And so there's that nostalgia piece. But first of all, Tangled was like the first. I do think that Frozen was practically flawless, but Tangled was like the first movie that was practically flawless as far as character development and music. And it kind of started this really, really new, like elite kind of animated movie. And I think that Rapunzel is, as much as I love Ariel and identified with her, I think that she does lack, when she is brave and stands up to people, it's kind of as a defiant, bratty teenager, which I get and related to and probably still relate to some extent. But
that was
Rapunzel,
the movie, right?
It was. And I mean, I think
that was the context.
Right.
She was drawn in. So,
But I think that Rapunzel, I think that we saw her go through more, you know, with trickery and abuse and all these things. And I love her, the Rapunzel and Flynn love story. I think I'm going to go Rapunzel. And yet I will have, you know, a million more Ariel things decorating my office than I ever would Rapunzel. But
Rapunzel.
I would go Rapunzel.
Got it. And I would flip a coin on this.
And I kind of feel guilty now.
No. Well, I flip a coin and it comes up Ariel for this one for me. So we'll go Ariel. And looking at the overall online voting, 63% was Ariel.
I like that. That's great.
That
I'm kind of relieved.
Me, yeah.
Like, I'm kind of relieved. Like, I really didn't want to pick either of those. That's great.
So Ariel and Belle in the finals for the princess. We'll talk about that next time.
Ah, and that's what just is my, like, awful magic.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate this.
We'll talk about that later. All right, so the next universe is Disney Parks, maybe one of my favorite. And the first matchup here is the Hitchhiking Ghosts versus the Dapper Dans.
You know, that's so tough.
It is tough.
And let me tell you why it's tough for me, and then I'll let Jennifer pick first. But what's tough for me is that – so the Haunted Mansion is probably my favorite attraction in all of Walt Disney World. With that being said, it's tough to pick between the Hitchhiking Ghosts and the Dapper Dans, who are real people.
And who are the Magic Kingdom to me.
You know what I
the
mean?
Dapper Dans are the Magic Kingdom.
It's like,
yeah.
did you just pick like a fictitious character over some real dudes that sing in the park? So with that being said, I'll let Jennifer go first.
Yeah, this one's not even remotely hard for me. I like Haunted Mansion fine. I think that the technology with the Hitchhiking Ghosts now is just mind blowing. They like stretch your face. I cannot fathom how that happens.
It's pretty cool.
It's just ridiculous. They're like real ghosts. That they're real. That's how it happens. But I don't know. That's it. We don't even ride Haunted Mansion all the time. You know, it's not my favorite thing. Whereas like music and that turn of the century screams Main Street USA and Walt and Magic Kingdom. And I love acapella music. And I love now that they have their little like bell thingies that they do. I mean, they just, I adore the Dapper Dans. I love when they sing in the barbershop. That was my very first actually like park specific shirt or whatever, which is not as cool as the 28 in Maine. I love the Dapper Dans. Yeah. I'm actually surprised they made it this far because I feel like there are people that know Disney. They're like, oh, those singer guys in the stripes. Like I'm really surprised they made it so far, but I love them. So that's my vote easily.
Dapper Dans. All right. I'm going to go with the Dapper Dans.
I go Dapper Dans too, which is three of us doing it, because to me they are the Magic Kingdom. I mean, you just see them and that's the first thing you think. But the same thing's true for the Hitchhiking Ghosts. I think Disney Parks.
Not for me, yeah.
But that said, we are absolutely overridden by online voters who 83% went with the Hitchhiking Ghosts.
And I'm not surprised by that. Because you look at, and I did not understand this. Like I don't dislike the Haunted Mansion. It's just not my not even top 10 ride in the Magic Kingdom. But when like the whole wallpaper Doonies and stuff came out, I didn't even like recognize what it was at first because I just don't, it is not my thing, but it is a lot of people's thing. And because they are, and then Disney, it's like circular because some people really liked it and they started making cool merchandise and it was kind of scarce. And so more people liked it and they've kind of like, it's like a snowball now. So I think a lot of people love everything Haunted Mansion. So yep. I'm not surprised.
Which actually will lead us into the next round here, the next bracket. The Hitchhiking Ghosts moved on, and they will face either the Ghost Host, Master Gracie, or Figment, which is the other bracket here. So Jimmy,
you know how this is
going to
go too.
Yeah, well, let me cast my vote first because mine is absolutely Figment all day long,
mine
without
too.
A doubt.
Mine too. Yep.
But Jimmy. I know you like Master Gracie.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Master Gracie.
Yeah, and as did our fans. 63%, the Ghost Host after Figment. I'm glad Figment made it this far. If it was up to me, Figment would represent the Disney parks. But it will be someone from the Haunted Mansion because it will be the Hitchhiking Ghosts versus the Ghost Host, Master Gracie.
That's like probably
Disney
one
parks.
Of the least. I'd have to look back at the list. And I probably would have had them beat other people. But if I would have had to pick, like, from the beginning, who would I want to like represent? They would have not even been close, but because it's just so specific to one ride. But
yeah,
whatever.
Well,
I'm not surprised. I knew that's how that would go, though.
All right, let's move on to Star Wars, which is another universe. And in the first matchup here, it's Han Solo versus Darth Vader. That's a tough one, Jimmy. You want to take it?
Darth Vader. Very easy for me.
That was my vote would be Darth Vader too.
It's very, very, and then nothing against Han Solo. I think he's a great, great character. But if you just, an image of Darth Vader is Star Wars. It is Star Wars.
To me, I agree. Jen?
I go Han.
You are with 76% of our listeners who also went Han Solo, and I think there's a little bit of nostalgia going on here with results of The Force Awakens. So we'll just
yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
But Han Solo was number one in the bracket. He was seated number one. He had the most votes. So
I mean, I'm not a villain person, and Darth Vader is a fantastic villain, but I think it's also – and gosh, this could be a whole long thing, and I won't make it that. But like the fact that we see his – childhood, his demise, his redemption, we see all that. That's super powerful, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it kind of makes it difficult to know, is he a strong villain? Is he – it kind of, for me, it makes the story super powerful, but to me, it waters down who he is. However, like you said, if there is one icon for Star Wars, had to pick one, that would be it. That would
nine
maybe a
movies.
But that would be it.
The whole nine movies are basically about Darth Vader and his lineage.
No, I agree. And again, it's one of those, like, I just think as a character, it's the whole Snow White, is it the most important movie or is it the best movie? Like, Darth Vader is central to the story, but he's not my favorite character.
So. Gotcha. Not with you. Yeah, no, okay, so with that being said, I didn't look at it as, you know, if I had to pick who to emulate, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, no, I gotcha.
I just think he's more iconic, I guess, is the thing to me, is that he is Star Wars.
Yeah.
So on the other side, Darth Vader's out, which means all of the villains are out. Going against Han Solo will be either R2-D2 or Chewbacca.
Oh, man.
Exactly. Doesn't get any easier. Well, I'll take this one first because I think as much as you said Darth Vader represents Star Wars, I think R2-D2 does as well.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Which is why I would – my vote is R2-D2.
But...
Jen, I'll make you go second.
It's so hard because you have like this or you do want to set them up and you not want to set them up. And, you know, I have loved R2-D2 forever, and I'm always impressed. I'm even more impressed with how BB-8 can emote as a beeping pile of metal. But
right.
I think that, I don't know, and this might be almost purely Force Awakens, not necessarily nostalgia or the loss of Han, but watching Chewie's heartbreak. Like, I think that he became more human, like in that scene, and then you look back at other times he's also been there and he's been around forever, and R2-D2 has, I guess, too, as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know, I feel like he's more more human and more I don't know, it's not the whole like soul versus robot thing, but I don't know, I do love R2-D2, but I'm gonna go with Chewie.
Jimmy?
I'm gonna go Chewie.
R2-D2 65%. Which means Han Solo will be up against R2-D2, because Han and Chewie would have been really tough.
It would have. I know. So that's okay why I almost
that.
Didn't.
That would be really
didn't
tough.
Want to set it up. Yeah.
That would be really tough. All right. So it's Han and R2. Next universe with three to go is the Muppets. And in the first round.
I'm totally making my kids do this entire bracket.
Or in the first one, it is Kermit the Frog and the Swedish Chef.
That one's pretty easy for me.
Then go for it, Jimmy.
Obviously Swedish Chef. No, I'm kidding. It's obviously Kermit.
It's Kermit for me too.
Yeah,
Jen.
Yeah, it's a thing. So this is actually, it's funny, and this happens every bracket. In the very last round, we went, you know, Jimmy says Darth Vader is more iconic, blah, blah, blah. But for me, like, the Swedish Chef might be my favorite Muppet. I know we talked about how I don't know them very well because I didn't grow up in the right decade. But I love the Swedish Chef. I think he's hilarious. And when you ask, like, who my favorite is, he might be on the top of the list. But Kermit is Kermit. That'd be like saying Mickey Mouse. I mean, like, Kermit is the Muppets.
Absolutely.
He is the Muppets. So.
Kermit is Jim Henson.
He is everything Muppets. He's actually even, we talked about recently in my family, how he went to Sesame Street for a little bit. And Nolan and I listened to, like, 68 versions of Rainbow Connection all day yesterday. And we kept coming back to the Kermit one. And it's Kermit.
Yep. It's 76% Kermit. So Kermit,
I would have expected that to be higher.
Me too. You know, the Swedish Chef hung in there.
Swedish Chef is so funny, though.
Yeah. 24%. He hung in there pretty well. The Kermit will face Fozzie the Bear or Beaker, who made it this far.
Mimi.
Fozzie or Beaker. That's a good one. Although, I'll start with this one because you know, Fozzie might be my favorite Muppet. Fozzie might be my favorite. So my vote is Fozzie. Jen, I'll let you go.
I'll go Fozzie as well. Those are two
that
I feel like I know kind of well, but again, from like, you know, Muppet Babies and things that are like very, or like the new Muppet movies where they're not even very featured. Like, I know they're, I could like describe them in a couple sentences, but I don't know their nuances or anything. So, in general, I feel like I like Fozzie better, and I feel like Bunsen and Beaker are a duo. So,
one without the other. Yeah, and you know, I went back and forth on that. Do you count them together?
Well, no, and I don't know that we should have necessarily done it that way, but like, I just, for me, one without the other is not as cool as Fozzie.
I agree. Jimmy?
I'm going to go Fozzie.
And so did our listeners, Fozzie, 67%, which sets up Kermit versus Fozzie. The next universe is Disney Villains. Mm. First matchup is Gaston and Maleficent.
Ooh. I'll go.
Go for it.
Maleficent. I think that one's easy to me. I think that she could potentially be overrated as like the worst, she's become the quintessential villain, except for Once Upon a Time, Jimmy. But she is powerful, but I don't know her like cackle and her horns and her dragon, and she's a pretty quintessential villain. Whether she's like the most, we talked about this before on the show, I actually think the ones that are worse are your Frollos and your Mother Gothels and the people who actually like destroy other humans emotionally or whatever. But like
Scar, he's the worst. He kills his own mother.
But like, I don't know. But Maleficent says Disney villain to me. So, yeah, that's what I go with.
Jimmy?
And guess that's just kind of funny. He's kind of a weak villain.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna go Maleficent.
As would I
like, which the character of Gaston.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, Gaston's character is hilarious, but he is kind of a weak villain.
Mm-hmm. He is funny. I also will go Maleficent, as we did 65% of the listeners.
Again, and, it seems low.
It does seem low, but we are getting towards the end here. The next one's even closer, which is Ursula and the Evil Queen. Jimmy, I'll let you start that one.
I need to know, Jimmy, are you throwing Regina in this or no? Because last time you did, in your initial conversation, did she skew your opinion?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so, but I still think it's the Evil Queen.
I think I agree. I think that Ursula,
to me, she's kind of the same thing. To me, it's kind of the same thing as what you said about Maleficent. I think the Evil Queen is kind of quintessential Disney villain.
Yeah.
Well, and then she kind of actually, so I think Ursula was scarier to me, like from a on the screen, she's big and ugly and whatever, like scary looking.
Yeah.
But the Evil Queen does both the iconic Disney villain and the sort of like just totally psychopath. Like, I'm not the prettiest, I'm going to kill this girl. And I mean, so like she's definitely more like, I don't know. She's like a psychopath. She's like a monster inside, but she's not really like a big old monster. So, I think that kind of hits on the real life monster plus the iconic Disney villain. So that's a good one.
Yep.
I think Ursula's kind of creepy.
She's definitely creepy.
So that's where I'd throw my vote. And 58% of our listeners did too, to set up Maleficent and Ursula.
I think Ursula is a scarier villain for sure, but
which is maybe what I went with.
Different. That's the thing. Yeah. I feel like every single round, every single matchup, I do differently. But
right.
That's right.
All right. So last,
like I said, you know, you ask me this tomorrow, I wouldn't say all my answers, but quite a few of them could definitely be different.
Well, you know, as we go to the next round, Jimmy, you can vote every 3 hours, just like anybody else.
Oh gosh.
So the last universe is Marvel. And the first matchup here is Captain America and Spider-Man. The Captain and Spider-Man.
I don't even have to answer this. You guys know what my answer will be.
Yeah, and I'll probably did you there too, Jimmy, which is Captain America.
Me too.
Captain America.
Spider-Man's like funny and cheeky, but that's it. Like, he's not going to top any list for me.
So Spider-Man took 75. I'm sorry, Captain America, 75%.
Oh, I was
Captain
like,
America,
what?
Yeah, no. It's getting late. Captain America, 75%.
It is getting late.
And Captain America will face either Iron Man or Thor.
Oh, you know he's going to face Iron Man. It's going to happen like the week of Civil War. I can't handle this, guys.
And we are setting up the Civil War then. Jimmy, is that your vote, Iron Man?
I'd have to go Iron Man.
So it's Thor and Iron Man? Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Thor and Iron Man are the two left.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely Iron Man. Now, again, like, Thor's better at a lot of things in a lot of areas, but I am all kinds of Team Stark and Robert Downey Jr. and the bad boy, like, smart guy. Like,
I was going to say, you could almost, like, this Marvel Avengers resurgence is, I mean, you can credit a lot of that to Robert Downey Jr. and his portrayal of Tony Stark in those movies as we kind of started the empire.
Well, and it's like, it's so funny because my sister and I plan on going to I actually think I'll see it a bit early, but we plan on going together in very like Team Stark, Team Captain like things because she's always been a Captain America fan. And I really like Captain America a lot. And I like him more after like seeing Chris Evans. But, I don't know. This is totally like a just personality draw. Like I love the kind of like
you like the bad boy.
I do, but the bad boy with a good heart and a smart brain and all that put together is that's a pretty daggone good character. Who's Kim's favorite Avenger?
I don't know.
And Susan and who and I mean like we need to know because I feel like they're gonna be totally different because I have friends
Kim
who are
would
like
probably be Thor.
I have friends, as we say, I have friends who are all Thor all the way, and it's because they think he's the most attractive. And so there's like all these different reasons that people pick. I don't know, but
I'm also a huge fan of Heimdall.
I don't even know Heimdall.
Heimdall is the character. He's just in the Thor movies, but he's the guy like the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Idris Elba plays him. He's got like the gold eyes, and he carries he's got the big sword.
Idris Elba is everywhere. Did any of you see Jungle Book yet?
Not yet. No.
I didn't ask you back, but okay, yeah.
Yeah, not
he's
yet.
Everywhere. He's everywhere.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So we have Captain America versus Iron Man.
Of course we do.
In the Marvel Universe setup, which sets up for the fourth round. Head to DisneyMadness.com to vote and pick who is going to represent each of their respective universe. Captain America, Iron Man, Maleficent, Ursula, Kermit, Fozzie the Bear, Han Solo, R2-D2, the Hitchhiking Ghosts, or the Ghost Host, Master Gracie, Belle, or Ariel, Mickey Mouse, or Goofy, Buzz Lightyear, or Woody. That will set
I feel
up
like there's one or two I want to abstain from.
Which one?
Do a write-in vote.
So that will set up some very interesting cross-universe matchups after we get through round four into round five, and then it'll go pretty quickly after that. So, again, it's DisneyMadness.com, which will link you back to the Disney Nerds Podcast Character Madness page. You can vote every 3 hours. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. With that, Jimmy, where can you learn more about the show?
First, check us out on Facebook, the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page. Also, Disney Nerds Group. That's Disney Nerds, all capitalized. We got about 19. We just hit 19,000 members, believe it or not. It's a great place for just a great resource if you've got questions and not just want to hear our three opinions or four opinions, whoever happens to be on the show, but you want to hear 19,000 opinions. That's a that's a great place to go and just ask. Email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, Twitter @thedisneynerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast.
Thank you guys so much for listening. For all of us at the Disney Nerds Podcast, including Ed and Charlotte, I'm Sam.
This is Jimmy.
And Jennifer.
We will see you next time.
See ya.
Quahirini.
Kongaloosh.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in